Blog Talk Radio.
Love, 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 that's what we're all looking for. Someone to look into our eyes and take our heads and tell us that we're beautiful.
Good morning, everyone. This is Donna Ganni, and I am the host of Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., and I am here today with joined with Minister Tressa White, Reverend Betty Shelby, Apostle Paulius Amakodia of Christ for the Africans Ministry, and also we're hoping in just a little bit Minister Belinda McKenzie will be joining us. And we're here today, we're on our Kingdom Keys series, number 8. We're talking about strong Christian leadership and how can a Christian leader avoid the drama, etc., etc. How can a Christian leader avoid the drama? And as we know, for the body of Christ, we are in such an hour where we're going to experience many things within the body of Christ and every environment that we go off into. And I know... the more people begin to know you, it's like you become similar to personalities and they look at you differently. So sometimes you become a fine needle in the haystack that they're looking to point out your flaws, point out differences. Being Christian leaders is not very easy in this hour. But one of the best things I can say in the beginning before we start is to the body of Christ or to the leaders out there, is for you to know yourself, get to know who you are. But before we begin, I'm going to ask Reverend Betty Shelby, can you please open us up in prayer before we start the session for today?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we are seeking you for information on drama in the church, Father. We're asking for your presence to be here at and on this radio station. We're asking for your Holy Spirit fill us with the knowledge and understanding as we talk to your children, Father, in Jesus' name. But most of all, Father, we love you. We love Jesus, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Betty Shelby. And again, thank everyone for joining the show today. I want to point out a few things here before we begin, and I want to start just reading in the book of Jude, which is only one chapter, and I'm reading from the King James Version, and it says, starting with verse 1, it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, into the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of these things which they know not, but what they know naturally are brute beasts, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in the feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water, carrying about the winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by roots, raging waves of sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches with which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, be building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, it also tells us, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saving with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his holy glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Very strong chapter, very one chapter, but it sums up a whole lot of things that we are seeing now in the body of Christ. But I want to say that for Christian leaders, as I said in the beginning, one of our shortcomings is understanding ourselves, so that we can be responsible in those relationships with the autumn leaves, wandering stars that come in the midst of us to bring drama. So before you can guide others, you have to take inventory of yourself, your own interactions, your own strength in Christ Jesus, to be able to stand against the whims of the drama. Those that come to sabotage you in building relationships falsely, the only way you can identify them is to be standing strong in the kingdom of God, to be able to visualize who you are with. You have to know from Emmanuel, God with us, being in you, because God is the only one that can discern those distinct autumn leaves, those drama queens, those spirits that are not likened to the kingdom of God. So understanding yourself is the first kingdom principle that a Christian leader can have to develop strength to manage drama that exists in their environment amongst the followers. Number one. Number two, Christian leaders fail to deal with the reality because of the false perception that there are no issues within the body of Christ. So we have to open up and face reality that there is a possibility that as Christians still have issues that need to be worked out. Thirdly, when we put more than one person in a room, there's issues may and will arise. Why do I say that? In the time, even as Paul the Apostle was writing, we can see that there was issues that was arising in the body of Christ. But we also see through his writings that he gave us ways, kingdom principles and concepts to deal with these situations in the body of Christ. Now, one will ask, why do we say avoid the drama? But we also have to realize, what is the drama? What are the characteristics, what are the traits of these drama, they call them drama queens now in society. They call them dramatic influences. So many different things, but to make it short, I'm going to call out a few drama traits so we can talk about them and see if we can look at some of the strategies that can be used in the body of Christ, or even if you're on the street one-on-one with an individual, that we can avoid dramatic circumstances that will hinder the Christian leaders of today. So one of the traits of a drama queen that we see everywhere is they thrive on excitement and attention. They always make dramatic pronunciations. They love juicy gossip. They're ominous rumor makers. They have like always personal traumas or emotional breakdowns. They can exhaust you because they never have a true intention of adapting to the truth of Jesus Christ. They only have their own modems and concerns at heart. Others, they also, you will notice them because other people always try to avoid them and their conversations. They drop by frequently to share their latest family crisis, their work conflicts, etc. They're always dropping in with problems. These are drama people. Actually, they're very rather insecure inside, and they feel that someone must see them as being important. They must be the focus, the center of attention. And they're very immature in their personality. They make you spend much of their time putting out fires unnecessarily. And they love to participate in the blaming, complaining, backstabbing, the excuse making all the time, and just love to make everyone feel that they have to be the center of attention. So if there is a fly on the wall, oh, see that big fly over there. Look at what it's doing in the house of God. So let's talk about these type of dramatic people that carry these type of traits along with them. How can we handle such situations? You know, one of the ways is helping them to be accountable, helping them to see themselves. How can we help them to develop an accountability? Or is there other strategies that anyone on the call that we're discussing this topic with today? Apostle Paulius, do you have any insights that you would like to share?
First, let me ask, these people are they leaders? Because according to leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. So to me, those people cannot be leaders, as you mentioned. So I see no reason why people will follow them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes,
people,
Apostle, let me make sure that you understand. The question is how can Christian leaders manage these type of people that have these type of traits in their environment? Because let's say you have a church, maybe 100 persons in the church, but you have five of them that bear these traits, that, you know, always drama, drama, drama. How does that leader give us a strategy how the leader of that house can manage such traits or people that bear those traits in the house? Because as I read in Jude, it says the autumn leaves, these people are like wandering stars coming in the midst of the body of Christ, not to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. So how can we as Christian leaders handle such persons coming into the environment?
Well, as you have already stated, leadership star of Jesus Christ that he gave is very, different from leadership from the society or from the world. Like Jesus, the style of leadership, Jesus Christ, he said we should love our enemies, love your enemies. Why is the way people say treat the enemy as your competitor? The style of Jesus Christ say we should do good to those who hate us. By the other side of the world, say, diminish the strength and the influence of those who oppose you. Jesus, the style of Jesus Christ say we should bread those who curses. That is the style of Jesus Christ. And the society is also discredit those who defame you or your credibility. And the style of Jesus Christ say we should pray for those who mistreat us. And the society so say we should pray against those who mistreat us. And the style of the leadership Jesus Christ portrays a gradually accept persecution. By the other side, you see, we should do everything to avoid negative opinion. And the style Jesus Christ portrayed or brought into the leadership, he said, we should give to those who seek or to rob from us. And the other side say we should disperse those who want to do something from nothing, develop a defensive posture. And the style leadership Jesus Christ brought to the kingdom, say, lend without expecting return. And the society, he say, give only when the return is greater than the gift. The style of Jesus Christ say we should be merciful. We should be merciful. And the society also say we should exploit the weakness and the mistakes of others. So, to me, I don't know which direction we are taking. Are we taking the style of the leadership of Jesus Christ or the society style? And if you see such people in your group, we need to, I mean, first of all, call the attention, not publicly, but we should call them 101 to address the issue. We should not tell them this. We should pray to them because maybe it's a demonic that is in them that is operating through them. So we should not publicly, address the issue. We should call them privately. Then we should lay down our plan. We should let them know how they should comport themselves. Because when something happened in this case, those people, their behavior is not directly from the flesh. It must be some demonic spirit that is in them, that is causing that problem. So we should call them privately and address the issue as a leader. We should not address the issue. We should call them privately and tell them 101, and we should be humble as we are addressing the issue. We should not raise our voice, but we should calm down and tell them the biblical way of doing sourcing. We should let them know that their behavior is not acceptable in the society of Christian society. We should let them know that whatever they are doing, Christians should behave like Christ, because we are the followers of Jesus Christ. We are all, imitating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the type of leadership Jesus Christ brought is not the flow of the society. You know, the whole society is flowing in a certain way. The leadership of Jesus Christ, as I've indicated, is different. As I've said, they say we should love our enemies. But the society don't accept that we should love our enemies. The society say we should treat our enemies as competitor. By Jesus Christ's style, say we should love our enemies. So how are we going to love our enemies? He showed us an example that even if somebody slap you in the right side, you have to turn your left side for him as a leader. so that we have to allow the society to see the leadership of Jesus Christ. He said we should love our enemies. How many people will love their enemies? They will not. People are not loving. Even Christians are not loving their enemies. Christians are even trying to let the enemies know that they are rare enemies. By the style, the leadership Jesus Christ brought to the society is not flowing in that way. So it is opposing the society. The society is against the style leadership Jesus Christ brought. But as we are following the style of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we should let the society know that the Jesus style way of leading is correct and it is being recommended to his kingdom, because we are operating under the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So everything we are doing should be under the leadership of Jesus Christ. As I've said, the style of Jesus Christ say we should love our enemies. By the society, the worldly society say we should treat our enemy as a competitor. We should, treat so. In this case, when we see our enemy or when somebody brought that behavior to our group, we should call him privately and address the issue. Before then, we have to pray and commit that person into the Lord, that the Lord should take care of. And if there is a spirit that is contrary to the word of God, the Lord should take away that contrary spirit and should give him the Holy Spirit that will let him or her love his enemies to avoid that behavior, that people will not see the character of Jesus Christ. Because leadership is, we have to develop the character of Jesus Christ. So as a leader, and we see something in our group, we should address it, not publicly, but privately, so that the person will not be offended. We should try to allow him to be offended. So we should call the person in privately. Even only the leader and a person should be in that room, or should be in that thing to discuss about that behavior. We should not group it. We should not let it be a group discussion. We should bring it privately.
Privately.
Because we don't want, to lose that person. In our group.
Amen. You know, I agree with you, but I want to let's delve a little bit deeper, because there's obvious in this time and season, there's going to be people who, even if you sit down and talk with them, they just refuse to conform. And I'm just want to read in the Bible and give you an example. I'm reading in John 6, and Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's saying to them, starting from verse 53. He says, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth in my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth of me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. This thing said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. But many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in him that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And then he says, It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believeth not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, so Jesus is getting a little deeper here. He's revealing himself a little harder and profound to those who could eat what he was saying. And he's also making those that are accountable in the midst of them, giving them, letting them see the realness of the situation so that they can make a choice. So he says, and he said, Therefore said I unto you, know that no man can come unto me except if he were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now, if we go on, he says, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, I'm just going to open up the floor and let's talk about this, because again, we're talking about, as the world call it, drama people, but as Apostle Paul has pointed out some key things, is this person walking in the spirit of God or are they walking in the flesh? The Bible says the flesh profited nothing. Okay. Now, not that I'm saying, okay, we condemn. Of course we love, because our goal is to save the souls. But I want to get, some more input on this discussion. And Apostle Paulus, I'm definitely coming back around to you. Minister Tressa White, would you like to share your thoughts on how can a Christian leader strategically handle such a situation? I know you just heard the scripture I read about what Jesus is saying, and he's talking about one in the midst, was of the devil, and then he's saying some of you are not going to follow because you don't really believe. You're just observing. You're just coming along to observe me. You see what I'm doing. What do you think about that, Minister Tressa White?
Praise the Lord. And I think of the drama, you know, I just think of it as politics and emotional trauma. It's always going to be there, you know. So just as Apostle Paulus was stating, and you in your, and when you were reading John, staying focused and grounded and allowing the Holy Spirit to abide in us. Because we're just living in times where the pace of life, you know, it's taken the fast track. I like to think of it in terms, when I was thinking about our, like we are, where we used to be like jumping single ropes, it seemed, that now we're like caught up in this double dutch of life. And but we thank God. We thank God that He is the same yesterday, you know, today and forever. And I was reading in 1 Samuel, starting around the 8th chapter, and we could see the politics, if you will, the drama and the trauma of following the crowd. So Samuel was a prophet. He was a priest, and he was a judge, but the elders of Israel, they assembled together and spoke to Samuel, you know, telling him he was old. Now, we can relate today when we look, you know, at everything that is going on, you know, it's like he was telling him he was old, and they pushed the elderly to the side, and, you know, how can we hear? We thank the Lord for the forum that we have going on here, because it's how can we hear without a preacher? And, you know, they also told him that his sons, they told Samuel that his sons, now these were the elders, right, of Israel, telling him that his sons were, you know, they weren't any good, you know, they weren't walking in the ways of God. So what they wanted, what those people of Israel wanted, they wanted a king who would go out and battle for them. A king so they would be like other nations, like today everybody wanting to be like everybody else, you know. And what Samuel did, he prayed. And let me say that again. Samuel prayed. And the Lord spoke to Samuel. He spoke to Samuel and he told him to hearken to the voice of the people. The Lord told Samuel, don't trip. Don't trip, for the people have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not be king over them. And, of course, Samuel was obedient, and he did what the Lord instructed, and he warned the people what would happen when they would have a king that would have rule over them. But the people still wanted to be as the other nation and have that king. Well, we know that Saul was appointed and also anointed king. But even with his appointing and his anointing, King Saul decided to take the control of his appointing and anointing. That's why it's so important to stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Spirit of the Lord is left Saul. And, you know, I would venture to say that pride is the president of hell. And this Old Testament prophetic event was shadowing us today, because we are to understand some things like man You know, that man looks on the outward, but God looks at the heart. And that situation ethic can elevate man's will over divine instruction. God wants obedience from the heart and not a mere outward ritual. And weaknesses can be there to help us remember that we need God to guide us and order our steps. And there is nothing impossible with God. And when we are weak, he makes us strong. Saul, he was a king in politics, if you will, and he allowed evil to enter into him. He was full of bitterness, jealousy, envy, fear, strife, and he didn't keep a focus on doing good. He was kicked out of office. But then there was that man, David. That man after God's own heart that kept his mission in focus. And he allowed God to use him to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. He slew that giant, Goliath, that intimidating giant. So I say to the people that what we can do when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our lives, and knowing that we know that prayer changes things, and knowing that as disciples, we ask God to teach us how to pray. Times are hard and all the drama going on, we have to understand that God is almighty, and we have to lift him up and have the realistic expectation of our hope being in Christ Jesus. We must praise and worship him, not being ashamed to lift up the name of Jesus, because we know that if God be for us, he's greater than the whole world against us. So my prayer for the people in this hour is to hear. Open up our hearts to accept and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. No matter what we are having to endure, keeping our eyes on the prize, the goal of eternal life, Christ Jesus. And when all in life is going well, we praise God for it, because we still must be prepared for our test. And only God Almighty can turn that test into a testimony, because we're going to be tested. We have to be persistent and consistent with our prayer life, and be consistent and persistent with our nutrition. When I'm speaking of our nutrition, I'm saying give us this day our daily bread, reading and studying that word, our word of truth, that will guide us and direct our path. You know, yes, I believe in predestination. There is, hallelujah. We have to understand, we have to worship, we have to discipline ourselves and utilize time management and set priorities and goals and write them down and join study groups and just praise the Lord each and every day, keeping ourselves focused on the mission. Because God said that many are the affliction of the righteous, but God is faithful to deliver us from all of them. We don't let our hearts be troubled. We are to stand on the promises of God. That's how we maintain our focus.
Amen. That I've really been blessed this morning because I'm listening to what Apostle Polly has shared, and also listening to what Minister Tressa just shared. Very great examples of the servant leadership style, which is that of Jesus Christ, being a disciple for Christ, being walking in your gifts, whether it's apostle, pastoral, evangelist, prophetic, whether it's a teacher, whatever your gifting and calling is for God, and also using your gifts. Both of them also pointed out that out so far. It's very important for you to utilize your gifts, spending time with God, communicating with Him and seeking Him. And also the drama queen or drama person in your environment, helping them to see and their themselves, give so that they can be accountable for the whatever they're doing in that environment. So those are some key ways of avoiding the drama. We want to continue on the pace here, and I want to read in the Bible again because there's so many things that are happening now, because you have people that are overseas in areas where they're non-Christian environments, and they are preaching the word of God, and they're facing persecution, going through so many things over there, and these are real life events that are happening. They're facing real drama, you know, besides the drama of that goes on with the emotional trauma and politics and some of the things that we're talking about now. But they're facing situations where they're ready to get their heads cut off. And here's, I'm reading in Acts chapter 3, where Paul is with the Sadducees and scribes and the Pharisees. And I'm reading from verse 1, and it says, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, 'Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day.' And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him in the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, 'God shall smite thee, thou white walled, for sittest thou in to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they stood by, said, 'Revilest thou God, high priest?' Then said Paul, 'I will not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people.' But when Paul perceived that they were one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out into the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope, resurrection, and of the dead. I am called in question.' And when he had said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided." Now, Reverend Betty Shelby, here we have Paul, the Apostle Paul, who I would say was a very profound apostle of God, according to the word of God, and performed many acts. And we have a lot of biblical principles and concepts that were formed by him. But he's telling them in verse 3, he's saying, God shall smite thee, thou white wall, for sittest thou in the judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law." How can a Christian leader avoid the drama? Reverend Betty Shelby, what do you have to say?
Okay. You said Acts chapter 3 with verse 1?
But you don't have to specifically speak on that, but if you can give your insight as to what strategies Christian leaders can use to avoid the drama. in this hour. Because, as I said, there are so many facing persecution at this time overseas. People are being beheaded. How can the Christian leaders avoid the drama?
Well, number one, you can't. We could be like Elijah and go hide, you know, in the rocks and in the cave when he hid in the cave because Jezebel was after him, and she after she found, killed a bunch of prophets, and this one Elijah he hid, and he was hiding because he was scared of her because she told him she put out a decree that she was gonna kill him. But as pastors, as you read, we were chosen by God to do a work. To be chosen is to be picked specifically to do a work for the Lord. And to do that work, he instills a foundation in us that that even if he said if we build hay or bricks or whatever on our foundation, he'll still burn up by fire. Because he comes in and cleans us and he sets a true foundation. If you're walking with the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, on a true foundation, there's going to be trials and tribulations. There's going to be drama. But it doesn't come to for us to run. It comes for us to stand. And Elijah, at that point, the Lord had to show him that I fed you, I gave you water, because when you hid in the cave, there's water right there that he fed him to drink, to re-nourish his soul. He had the ravens that he sent to give him food. And it's to let you know that God will provide. If you got something to do, God will provide, regardless in the midst of any trial, any drama. Of people, the Christians going. There was a thing that I read that these people told them, if you deny God, they put a big cross out and they said, walk on it, and if you deny Jesus Christ, the cross will kill you. We won't kill you. There were some that went out and denied the cross. But this one little girl came out, and she stepped carefully around it. And then when she bowed down at the cross, and she prayed. And no telling what she said, but she, you know, it's just that the Lord said if one stands, the whole household would be saved. And when just because this little child did that, and she walked carefully around the cross, they killed her. But then other people from that point on were coming out, and they bowed at the cross. We have to understand salvation and life. You know, what you read in John chapter 6, he is the life. He is the true foundation. And if we have him, we will also reign with him. So, as a pastor, we're going through training. I always think about it as going through training, as an apostle, going through training. Every day we go through training, and it will build up our hope and our courage to stand. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Satan knows that his time is running short. Even in Jesus, when he was there, he knew where Satan was. Satan standing right there, he knew it. But he kept focusing on what he had to do. So we have to all stand and focus, even in our own home, even in the church home. We have to stay focused on life with Christ. And as Minister Teresa said, that as we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us the water, the nourishment that we need to stay, to see what God sees, because he sees victory. He don't see defeat. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I agree with you totally. I believe that we definitely have to stay in the will of God. But, you know, when I read that scripture regarding Paul when he was saying that his God will strike him, I believe that he was also using scripture in there to make the Pharisees and the Sadducees to think. So I think also the word of God is very important in our experience when we're experiencing drama in any environment. So he used the word of God. Nevertheless, he never was smitten as they wanted it to be, or as the high priest wanted to happen with him, because he threw back the word of God to bring reasoning into the mind of those that were coming to persecute him. So the word of God is very important in this hour. Also, too, having the Holy Spirit with you with the word of God is even more profound. So Apostle Paulius, Reverend Betty Shelby, Minister Tressa White has also pointed out that it's very important to be prayerful and have a strong relationship with God. Apostle Paulius, do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share to the body of Christ about avoiding the drama?
Oh, yes. After the Adam and Eve sin, God prophesies that the seed of the woman is going to be an enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And we all know that the serpent seed has multiplied. We all came from the serpent seed. We are all offspring of the serpent. So definitely sure, even in churches today, not everybody in the church is being born again. So definitely sure, the people will be reacting freshly until God, Holy Spirit, arrests them. So as a leader, we have to know that not everybody that is following us is trying to follow us. But some people are following us to inspire. It's being observed what we are doing, but they are not part of us. They are observing what we are doing. So the devil also has thrown his people into the church to cause this drama. So if we follow the leadership style of our Lord Jesus Christ, those people will be defeated. Either they will go away or they will become one of us. So we should always allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, so that either those people will become one of us, or they will go away among us. So we have to know that the darkness, the spirit of darkness also, we are in the world, but we are not part of them. But we, as the light of the world, we are trying that some of the darkness people, some of the people that are offspring of the serpent will come, and they, when they see our light, will capture them. They will become one of us and leave their darkness and become one of us. So either they are coming to disturb us, or they are coming that our light will capture them, then they will be translated into the kingdom of light instead of the kingdom of darkness. So it's two things that is opposing each other, the spirit of darkness and the spirit of the spirit of light, the God's kingdom versus devil's kingdom, is always fighting. It's always at fight. So since the creation of since Adam and Eve fall, there has been spiritual war that is going on, either in the church or outside the church. So as a leader, we should always make sure that we read the Bible. We should allow the Holy Spirit to build us character that will not be movable, that nobody can move us. Only our light can regenerate the darkness. We will capture the darkness and we will translate them into the light of God. So we should make in our mindset that we want to change our environment, we want to change our community, we want to change the people. So the people are not like us. Jesus Christ said that unless you eat my body and drink my medicine, you know, the body that he was talking is a symbolic. He didn't made his real body. That when somebody eats his real body, that is a cannibal. How can somebody eat this thing? So if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to, interpret the word of God, the people will be offended. The people offended and see how they all went out without the 12 people. And Jesus said, no, you 12 people, only one person that God has called him, but God knew that he's from devil, but God has called the person to among us so that the fulfillment of my death has to happen, that the person has to betray me so that I will fulfill my purpose of life. So we should make in our mindset that the darkness, we are, as a leader, we are leading the light. And darkness people will come and they will make sure that they will cause trouble. And we should make sure that the word of God dwells fully, that we will translate them from the darkness into light. And we should let prayers be more in our midst, so that the spirit that is in them can never withstand the prayers, because the prayers will drive away their contrary spirit that is in them. Prayers will drive them away. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that awesome summary and very relevant summary, Apostle Paulius. I also want to add one more scripture, a biblical example as well, before I continue on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, this is Paul again, and he's saying, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that had said, done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, so deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm reading this, and it's like Paul is giving an instruction on how to handle, again, such things in the environment of the body of Christ. But it's not for the for that person to end up in turmoil, but he's saying that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. So, Minister Tressel White, continuing the pace, do you have any final words to share with the body of Christ?
Oh, thank you, Lord. And I just want the people to know that Jesus Christ is our way. He's our salvation. He's our hope. And nothing is impossible with God. Discipline ourselves. Stay focused on the mission. Keep our eyes on the prize, because eternal life is with Christ Jesus if we are obedient and understand that prayer changes things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I guess she dropped us.
Here.
Reverend Betty Shelby.
I was looking at Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I'm coming
quickly,
and my reward,
and my
is, with
reward
me,
is with me,
to give to
everyone
according
to his
work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves the practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root
and
the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Amen. Right here it lets us know in Revelation that there is a choice that we must make. The world has one way, but God is the only way, as Minister Teresa said. So I pray that each one, who are out there listening, choose life. Choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And let him come in. Let him, the Holy Spirit come in and do a washing inside of you, inside your heart, and inside your spirit, and that you may see the victory and see that your sins are washed away when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Old things, all that mess has passed away, but the newness has to come in and be glorify God. Be glorified. Oh, yes, be glorified by God. And it says, may the grace of God, Lord Jesus, be with you all. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is be with you all. Amen. That means that he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. He will be with you to the end. Praise God. Praise
Amen.
You. And thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, the first thing that I want to point out to the body of Christ, too, for the Christian leaders out there, it's very important that you know yourself, know your strength, know your weaknesses, And so you can align them with the will and the word of God so you can remain in a strong relationship and in the covenant of God, especially in this hour. Also, too, the way that you can deal with that drama is the word of God. Share the word of God. Help the person to see themselves and be accountable through the word of God, by the Spirit of God. And if that person is not ready to change, I gave very good scriptures, hopefully, and I gave some strong ones because I wanted to impact the mindset of the body of Christ, that use the word of God in every situation you're in. I have a friend that was in South Africa, and they were robbed. There were two men that came up, and they had guns, and they were going to rob them. Instead of them saying anything or thinking about what was going on in the situation, they got on their knees, and they just started praying and praying and praying. When they opened their eyes up, the people had disappeared. They wasn't even there any longer. So they're still alive today. So no matter what situation you're in, if you're getting ready to be beheaded, think about God. Go down on your knees and start talking to him. You never know what he might do for you in whatever situation you're in. Just believe in the Lord. Trust in him with all of your might. Christian leader, you know, there's going to be a lot of situations that you're in. There's going to be struggles. Satan will send people in the midst of you. But if you have the Spirit of God with you, take discernment quick and stand on what the Lord is showing you. He will give you the insight and the wisdom to deal with every individual in the midst of you. He will help you shepherd them, or he will help you to as we've seen, as Apostle Paulius was saying, when there were those in the midst of Jesus that wasn't supposed to be there, they left the scene. Preach the word of God. Tell it like it is. The devil can't stand to be in the midst of the Spirit of God. Where there is light and illumination of the things of God, the devil can't stand. And that's what I'll tell you, body of Christ, today. Stand on the principles and the concepts of God. It's in his word. There is no situation out there that he cannot handle, because he is a possible God forevermore. It's not for today, not for yesterday, not for the past, but it's for today, for your future. So stand on the promises of God. Be faithful to the calling, and he will be faithful to you. Body of Christ, I just want to remind you that you're listening to Kingdom Empowerment Inc. Blog Talk Radio Show, and you've been listening to the host, Donna Ganny, and also joined with Reverend Betty Shelby of Amos Temple in McAllister, Oklahoma, Tressa White of McAllister, Oklahoma, and Apostle Paulius from Christ for the Africans Ministry in Dallas, Texas. And I would like to invite you to join us again next week as we have our Christian Leadership Series. And it will be posted on our blog site at www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Empowerment Inc. And feel free to join us at any time. We will also be coming back here on Sunday with our Rapture Ready series, where Apostle Paulius and Makodia will be sharing kingdom insights on how you can be rapture ready for that day and time when Jesus Christ comes for you. So, again, body of Christ, we're here to empower and equip you. We love all of you, and we just lift up all of you before the throne of grace, that the Lord of Jesus Christ will be with you and that he will overshadow you and keep you all the days of your life, in Jesus' mighty name. Apostle Paulius, can you pray for the body of Christ as we close out?
Oh, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity that you give us to us to discuss your word. We pray that your light that shines will continue to shine us and to eliminate every darkness that will come into our community, into our church. That light will penetrate into the deepest darkness. Help us so that the people may see the light and transform into your kingdom. We thank you and we glorify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Reverend Betty Shelby. Amen. Reverend Betty Shelby, if there's any listeners out there that are with us today and you don't know Jesus Christ and you just happened up on our site or that you're listening to us by live out there, we just want to invite you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Reverend Betty Shelby, can you lead them into knowing Jesus Christ?
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is awesome to go down the Roman road. Oh, that is so awesome. As we know, Paul, he went down the Roman road and to destroy a nation of people. But Jesus showed up and he fell to his knees off of his high horse. And when he fell to his knees, he said, Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecutest me?" Amen. But here is the confession of faith. In Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 9, it said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on Jesus. All you have to do is say the name and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And once you have done that, how awesome it is. Make this true, though. Make this true and wholeheartedly. Tell someone that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Confess it to anyone. Tell them that I am saved. Jesus Christ now lives in me. And such a beautiful aura will come around you and be there. You'll see people look at you funny. That's the enemy. Because he does not want us to step forward. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And I praise our Heavenly Father that he will draw you closer and closer. Read your word. Read the word. Read your word. That's all I can say is read your word to learn more of Jesus.
Learn more of Jesus.
Amen. And Minister Tressa White, can you also just pray for the Christian leaders before we close out here, because we often have situations where Christian leaders are, as I said, they're being persecuted, those that are out there in missions, those that are out there even in the battlefield. We have chaplains that are in the army. We also have people that are doing missions for the Ebola patients. Going through a whole lot right now. So let's just lift them up before the body of Christ and however the Spirit of the Lord leads you.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And we lift up your name, Jesus. We know that the wages of sin is death, but your gift is eternal life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being Alpha and Omega. Thank you for giving us your word, your divine instruction. We thank you this day, our Heavenly Father, for the teachers, the apostles, the ministers, the teachers. Let them all hold up your bloodstained banner, strong in the faith, encouraged, understanding that you are our guide. And we will not allow the enemy to come against us. You are there. You are Alpha and Omega. We trust you, Lord. We rely on you. We know that you are our strength. You are our joy. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us your word. We stand on the promises of you, Lord Jesus. We know that we can do nothing without you. But with you, all things are possible. All things are possible. Let the nations understand that God, Jehovah God, is the only true and living God. We thank you this day. We praise you. We lift you up. And let's have the people of the world have an ear to hear and a heart to receive that you are the good news. And we thank you. And we stand and say we will deliver the good news. The good news that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And none can come to the Father except through him. We look forward, Lord Jesus, to you opening that door for us and understanding that we can have you say to us, you have done a good job, full circle. Stay faithful, rooted, and grounded in the word of God. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Minister Tressa. And as I said earlier before, we will be back here again on Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Mountain time, 9 a.m. Central time, and 10 a.m. Eastern time. And for those that are listening global, from India, we love you. From Nigeria, we love you. From Russia, we love you. From China, we love you. Ghana, we love you. Just the whole world, we love you. And continue on listening with us and following us on the magazine. We appreciate all of your feedback that you're giving us. And for every prayer that you're presenting, we are praying over those prayer requests. So, again, whatever situation you're facing, don't give up. Don't lose the hope. God is there, and he's listening, and he's hearing you. I can tell you one thing is just get down on your knees and seek him in this hour and know him as your Lord and Savior. He will talk to you through his word. If you haven't been able to open up the Bible and take clear understanding, ask God to open your heart to receive it, and he will do so. Body of Christ, I can't say it enough. We love you, and God bless all of you, and may he equip you and continue to be a part of your life. For those that are aspiring to be Christian leaders, continue to join us every Thursday as we discuss our Christian leadership series. God bless everyone, and may the grace of God be with you.